Father, Lord, as we continue our time of worshiping you, Lord, as we worship you through your word, Jesus, I just pray that our hearts and our minds are open to just you, Lord, and the distractions of our lives and the things that have gone on this week, whether we didn't know what day it was or just we have been slammed by just the pressures of life. Lord, I just pray that we would just let them go right now, and that we would just focus our eyes upon you. As we have already sung so many words, Lord, but I pray that they have penetrated our hearts, that you would be the center of our lives, Lord, no matter where we are on this spiritual journey. Lord, I just pray that for those of us who are followers of you, Lord, I just pray that our hearts are open to share how great you are and what you have done. Lord, for those of us who may not have that relationship with you this morning, I pray that that eyes would be open and hearts would be softened to see your truth and to see that you are the true and only living God. Father, Lord, as we just take this time, I just pray that you would just speak just through me, and that I would get out of the way, and that I wouldn't be an interference to you speaking directly to the hearts of your people. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. How's everyone doing today? Everybody doing good? Okay, we had a little spooked there, like, whoa, wait a minute, what's this guy doing? This is what happens when you let the youth guy kind of put things together, but it's exciting. Hopefully that we, as we wrap up this morning, we hopefully, if you've been following along since April, that you kind of get the idea, as we shared last week, that suffering is a part of our lives, and I think for me, what I've learned through this is the biggest thing is, how am I going to handle that? What am I going to do with it? And Emily and I had the opportunity to go to see a pre-screening of the movie Evan Almighty, and there was one scene in there where Evan is just freaking out. He's like, you know, why me? Why me? Why me? Why me? And my plans were this, and then the you know, Morgan Freeman, who played God, is laughing, and he's like, what's so funny? He's like, well, you said my plans, first of all. And then and he said, well, then why are you picking on me? He said, because I love you. And I wasn't picking on you. And like Beth Moore says, it's not that you're being picked on by God, it's you're being picked out by God. And I thought that was really cool. And so this morning, as we shared last week, one of the things that we'd like to do is we want to give this opportunity for you all to share. We began this series back in April on 1 Peter, and it's some powerful stuff. I don't know how you've taken it, but for me, it's just been like, wow. God has shown me since April and throughout these months of some of the things that I tried to control and I tried to take care of and not truly letting it go to God. If you're here last week, we did the analogy with the basketball, you know, casting all, not casting some of the things that you think, you know, that God can handle and you can and he can, but literally throwing that ball to him and casting all your cares upon him. And it's exciting that we live in a world that we have freedom, as we shared. I think I've shared that last week, but also just even the freedom that we have to come here and worship, and just knowing that there are people throughout the world who even have to worship the Lord in hiding. And so this is what we want. And so whether it's through scripture that has touched your heart, whether it's through life experience that has gone on, whatever it is, but we just, you know, encourage as we share this morning with one another. I want to share some scripture too. So in your FYIs, there are some notes, and it is on the orange paper. If you remember that last week, goldenrod, orange. But in your FYI, if you want to follow along, and then I'm going to just share a couple of brief things, and then we want to open this up to you. Does that make sense? Just maybe a brief, you know, if you want to share, and then I'm just going to ask Andrew to grab the handheld, and then he'll be able to go around. The Hill family this week, we do have a new addition as well to our family, and I'd like to share with you our picture of our newest one. Jeremy, if you could put that picture up, that would be great. And this is our newest addition to the family. We thought we'd try adoption out the animal way, but this was really neat. We did adopt her. This is Snickers, who is our newest member of our family. But it was really neat as Tina and Emily went to pick her up from the pet store. They said, "You don't realize this, but you have saved a life today." She came from an abusive shelter in Mississippi. So we were like, wow, you know, and separated from her family. And we're going, okay, Lord, if this is kind of the precursor to what you want for us to do down the road, man, that is heavy. that is some really, really neat things that he showed us. But there she is, and she's amazing. So Emily is very proud of her. So if you want to see her, just see Emily. But this morning, in your outlines, as we're wrapping up this morning, I just want to share two thoughts on this First Peter series, and we've talked about suffering as well. And just want to share the first thing with you in the outline is this: is suffering happens. Suffering happens. It's going to come. We may have our daily planners. We may have our outlook put all together with what we're going to do by the hour. That's how I do things, actually. I do blocks of time. So it's like 9 to here. But I don't ever put in the interruptions or the disturbances in my life in my outlook or in my daily planner. But Peter was very clear with us that it does happen. Suffering's going to happen. It's almost like Christmas gifts. I don't know if you have gotten Christmas gifts that you're kind of like, what was that for? I don't understand that one. Have you, anybody? Well, I got one. This is, I got this from one of the librarians at the school that I volunteered at several years ago. And I was getting like, you know, hey, let me take you out to dinner. Let me get you gift certificates. And you know, God bless her. She gives me this nail. Oh, it's falling out on me. This nail kit. All right. And not only did she give me the nail kit, but this is what she told me. She said, I thought you could use it. I'm thinking, wait a minute, I do take care of my nails, you know, I don't chew on them, and maybe, you know, sometimes, but it was just really interesting, and I'm like, wow, thanks, that was really nice, I'll use it, but I do use it, because I had to look at that thing, I'm going, okay, I got this, you know, this nail thing, and what am I going to do with it? Well, now my nails are all pretty, and I don't have, you know, the hangnails and stuff, but it's those kinds of things that we don't expect. It's just like Christmas gifts, as things happen in our lives. No matter what they are. But Peter is very clear that this is going to happen. And in your notes, it shares this. It says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. And I thought, wow, that's it. We will. We will go through things in our lives. And maybe we may be going along and everything's smooth and great, and then, bam. Well, wait a minute. I didn't ask for this. Why is this happening to me? But maybe it's maybe thinking about and having a thought in our mind to repeat and repeat and repeat is to have a better perspective. Maybe having a better perspective on the things that we go through. It's like going to the eye doctor, you know, and you're going, well, I see, you know, it's a little bit blurry when it's far away or this or that. And then you kind of, he puts that big thing in front of you, you know, the big, you know, it looks like the Darth Vader deal, you know, in Star Wars. And it comes in and he's like, better, worse, better, better, worse. Hold on, how about here? Better, worse. I'm going, dude, it's either better or it's worse, you know? But he'll go and he'll go and he'll keep asking, better, worse, better, worse. Can you read that line? Yeah, I can read the very bottom line when they're like this big. And having a better perspective of that and to begin to, you know, again, as we said last week and throughout the series, that this is a spiritual thing. That there's a war, a spiritual war going on for our attention. And so we have to, as we said last week, we can lean on God, stand firm, and trust the outcome, trust him. Or we can trust ourselves. And as Jeremiah said last week, it says, my people went backwards instead of forwards. So having a better perspective of that. So suffering does happen. You know, no matter who you are, you know, you could live in a bubble, but I don't think that's what God intended for us. But we do have to realize this. Peter said suffering does happen. But he also says this. I like the next verse in chapter 4, verse 13. It goes on to say, But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Wow. You know, just a little while, as we said. Even last week, we said, you know, you're going to suffer for a little while. And when you do, there's the greater good at the end of the day. Or when this time, when my time, when our time, those of us who have professed faith in Jesus Christ, when we say, it's going to be over one day, but right now I'm going to live in it and I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to accept it, and I know that God is going to get me through this, no matter what. Even when I try to hold on a little bit to things that I think that I can control, but I know that he's going to get me through. So suffering happens. What I'd like to do now is I'd like to open up for us to share with one another just things, that whether it's scripture, again, whether it's things that have gone on in our lives. And so we'll just do that just for a few moments, and then I'll continue on.
Oh, I'm live here. And of course, that's a progression. And it just really touched me amazingly. Wow. Not only will not perish and spoil, it'll never fade. It'll never lose its color. I mean, that's how God wants us to understand this. So this week, Steve called me down just yesterday and said, Dad, there's something down in the basement. It stinks. So I go down, and it was in the laundry room, and he says, I think it's your work clothes. I said, I don't think they smell that bad. Well, what happened, the basket fell over, and it fell into this oil on the ground. So I picked it up, and I'm smelling the oil, and it wasn't too good. And it was thick, and I said, it's right near our little refrigerator that Steve keeps all his sodas down in there. So I said, I think the refrigerator's bad. The Freon might have gone. So we were looking at the refrigerator. No, everything was still cold and all. Well, under this chair was this plastic bag. And I pick it up, and man, did it stink. And I look inside, and here it's a watermelon that went bad. Now, Steve was bummed. He just went shopping last week. It wasn't even a full week that he and Luanne went shopping. He bought the watermelon because he wanted it. And in a week's time, it spoiled, it split open, and started leaking through the bag. And it stunk. And it just reminded me again, not with God's inheritance. Mm. Never spoil faith. And it's just, wow, that's ours. And like you were saying, we're going to suffer through this, but one day it'll be glorious. So I thought it was neat that God would just really put that on my heart to see that. Mm. All right.
Thank you, Chick. Anyone else?
My two-week trial run as Mr. Mom is going to be ending tonight. Gail flies in at 6:30 tonight. And I mean, before I give you an update, I really would like to have you all promise me that you will not tell her I did not comb the boys' hair for 2 weeks. She would be appalled.
You would be suffering.
And I know you've noticed, and thank you for not mentioning anything. Just as a quick update, Gail's mom had a lot of problems for about 3 months, and then she was diagnosed 3 weeks ago with a big, large tumor on her pituitary gland, and she had to have surgery for that, and the surgery didn't go well. And that happened a couple weeks ago. And so what happened was they had to do another surgery through the skull that was life-threatening, so we got Gail on an airplane right away. And she had that one 2 weeks ago. And she wasn't doing well at all last week, as I had said last Sunday. She was in critical care, and things were doing very poorly. So Gail was supposed to come back Monday, and instead, she got her flight changed to Sunday. Tuesday morning, her mom made a dramatic turnaround. They got her off the respirator. They got the hose out of her skull. She was sitting up, talking. She's eating now. She's out of critical care and may even go to rehab next week. So, what a difference a week makes, what a difference a week of prayer makes, because she had dramatic turnaround. And to tie this in with 1 Peter and kind of what we've been learning as a family, as Jeff said, suffering comes. And suffering, as we've learned through this series, is a bridge to a close relationship with God. Mm. And it's a bridge to us as a family, as a community, as a church, being closer to each other. Mm. And that's what Gail has experienced down in Dallas. I mean, her mom was really on death's door. And the time that she had with her sister and her stepfather in prayer, and every time she talked to me on the phone, she would say, it's just been an amazing time of prayer and closeness with God. And so we rejoice when suffering comes, because that is what suffering's for. It's the purifying of our faith, and it is to draw us closer to God and to bring us as a community closer together.
Thank you, Tim. I want to pray. Father, thank you. We just believe that, God, that you are the great physician. We thank you for what you've done with Gail's mom. Lord, we just pray that you continue to use each and everything, Father, to just draw that family closer to yourself, Father, in Jesus' name. Anyone else?
And he had the opportunity at the Christian rehab that he was at to lead one of the kids up there to the Lord. It's a 12-step program, which, focuses on God, but it, even though it's a Christian rehab, it's not forcing anybody to believe a certain way. But Sean said, what you need to do is you got to read the Gospels, and you'll find out that God is Jesus Christ. So you need to really spend time focusing on the Gospels, and you got to focus on Proverbs and Psalms if you want to learn knowledge and wisdom. Hmm. But the bottom line is through the hardship, this was the toughest trial of our lives as a family, and for Kate and me. Hmm. But bottom line is we have our son back. He's someone to talk to and to listen to. I haven't seen since he was 12 years old. Hmm. He's a different person. And the bottom line is he loves the Lord very, very much, and more importantly knows how much God loves him. And it was just, it's miraculous. With acute aspiration and acute respiratory failure when it happened, that he's living, and he's living proof of how much God loves us. And he realized that, and he looks fantastic, and he's a different person today. So I just wanted to say thank you to everyone, and God uses it all. And Sean said, you know, it's got part of God's plan. Not the way, you know, necessarily anybody would want a plan to be, but it's a plan for him to be used and already being used by God. Mm. I prayed this morning specifically if it was God's will for him to be here or not. And Sean first said, yeah, I definitely want to be at church, but then he's tired. And he said, no, I want to sleep in. And there's a reason, because I know with me sharing, he probably would not have felt comfortable. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot more I can say, but I don't want to take any more time. But it's been quite a journey. But Sean has said, for him, the hardship on us, he feels very bad about. But for him in his life, it's been worth it all to get to this point with his relationship with God. So, amen. Thanks.
Thank you, Howie. Thank you. Oh, sorry about that. Let me pray. God, thank you for sparing Sean. Thank you, God, that you used things in our lives to bring you, bring us back to you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would take these experiences that Sean has gone through, Lord, and that he would use them for your glory, and that he can point directly to you. Father, for the Irwins, Lord, I just pray that this has been a time that has drawn them closer, not only to one another, but to you. In Jesus' name. Maybe about one or two more, and then we'll finish up. Shelby?
Oh, God. It's so silly. But anyway, I had my first, I don't know, I guess adult suffering was I just lost my dog, who was a puppy. And I don't know what it entails with it, but the suffering is very hard. And I'm just thankful that my children aren't going through it, that I was able to just teach them and love them and enjoy the time that we did have with the dog, and that they're able to move on, you know, but I can't. I don't know why, but I am anxious, and I have been praying for, like, what is this going to do in my life? Because I need to know, and I think a lot of it is just enjoying what I have and stop complaining. I never realized how much I actually complain. You know, it ate this, and he did that, and he did this. But now that he's gone, I'm just like, oh, he was so good. I can't believe that I wasted so much time. But so, you know, there's always stuff to learn, and I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that I had him for the short time, but, you know, I'm glad you got one now so I can.
We have a babysitter.
Yeah, definitely. So that's it. You know, I'm just learning every day. Mm. I'll never, ever stop, and I'm
right
thankful.
Right on. Thank you. I think one of the neatest things is Tina and I were, I'm good at remote Olympics, and we hit on a pastor that said, you know, in those moments is when you cry out to God, even when you don't understand. I don't understand everything, but it's crying out to him. God's word says in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord, but for those of us, he's given us his word, and that we will just follow that and trust him in that. Amen. Amen. In your outline, we're going to finish up this morning, and I think Tim alluded to this already, but we said that suffering happens. But the second thing I want to wrap up with this morning is this, is that suffering can create intimacy with God. Suffering can create intimacy with God. And why I said can create is because we have to make that choice to want to do that. Shelby said, just through the loss of a puppy, I want to keep learning. I don't understand it all. But that is the greatness of God. We said that last week, because he cares for you. That's who he is. That is God. That is him at his best. Is he cares for us, period. But he wants us to, it's that intimacy that he wants with us. Peter goes on to say this. He says, who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. And do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. It's saying, those of you who are followers of Christ, do not fear. God's word even says, perfect love cast out what? All fear. And he goes on to finish up. He says, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Make him your first priority. I have to make him my first priority. Every morning I have to wake up and say, God, I surrender everything that it is that I want for me today, and I want it to be about you. I just shared with Dom this morning. I said, one of the things that I've been learning is to live day by day. Not worrying about what's going to happen next week. Plan for it, yes. But I'm beginning to learn day to day to day. And Tina said to me, she said, Jeff, you're becoming more laid back. I said, Tina, I'm learning each day to just rely on him today. Tomorrow can worry about tomorrow, but right now I'm going to worry about today. And I thought about the intimacy with God, and I thought about our, you know, cell phones. You know, and I thought, man, what if I began treating God like I treated my cell phone? You know, answering it every time it went off. If I was meeting with someone, actually I was meeting with Matt Barnett on Friday, and it buzzed and it freaked me out, and I was like, hold on, Matt. And I thought, man, that is the rudest thing I could have done to Matt, you know? But then I think, you know, we keep them in our holsters right on our side, and we have everything. We can get our phone calls, we can get email, we can get the latest weather or sports. And I thought, man, I think sometimes I have more intimacy with my phone than I do with the one who created me. That can create intimacy with our Father. A key thought is this. For those of us who are in Christ, we have a living hope. We have a living hope, period. And we've shared throughout our series, and I think it was me who shared this, was sometimes we get the ear syndrome. Yes, I'm a Christian, but why did this happen to me? And it happens to me all the time. Well, you know, it's going to be this way, you know, so I might as well just get used to it. But we have a living hope. No matter what, we can look up and we can trust the one who wants to bring each of us to himself and that intimacy. Peter finishes up in verses 8 and 9. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I don't know when he's going to return. That's not for me to decide. But what is for me to choose is how he shared about Sean. I had to make choices. My choice is to trust my Father, to trust my Heavenly Father, to know that he'll get me through because he cares for me and he loves me that much. Because if he didn't love me, he wouldn't have gave his son. As we shared last week, the ultimate example of suffering, the ultimate example of humility, that he lowered himself. He could have said, no, thank you, I'll stay here. But he came down, and he gave himself, so that we may have the opportunity to choose to have that intimacy with him. So the question is for us, is that who do we want to live for? Bottom line, who do we want to live for when these interruptions, these distractions, these things that come into our life that are so unexpected? And Joshua, in Joshua 24, 14 and 15, it says this. This is the Message translation. It says, so now, fear God, worship him in total commitment. Get rid of all the gods your ancestors worshipped on the far side of the river and in Egypt. You, me, worship God. And this is what I love what Joshua says. If you decide that it's a bad thing to worship God, then choose a God you'd rather serve and do it today. And then Joshua goes on to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I thought, wow, that is it right there. Sometimes I want to worship those things that are biting for my attention. But yet he's saying here, look, if it's not pleasing, if it's a thing that it cramps your style or cramps your life or whatever, then go worship, serve another God. But I think we have to remember this, though. We have to be willing to take on the consequences, the things that aren't pleasing to God. We have to be willing. Is that, is it worth it? That's for each of us to decide. But for me, in my house, we're going to serve God the best way that we can. I want to finish with a clip this morning of Evan Almighty. And Evan, is God has told him, I want you to build the boat. And his family thinks he's just gone loony. And the wife has taken the kids and have left. And in this scene, it is the wife is in a restaurant with her boys, and God encounters her. So when you see Morgan Freeman, that's the Lord, and he's playing God, and he encounters her at this restaurant. I want you to listen to the conversation.
Let me ask you something. If someone prays for patience, you think God gives them patience? Or does he give them the opportunity to be patient? If they prayed for courage, does God give them courage, or does he give them opportunities to be courageous? If someone prayed for the family to be closer, do you think God zaps them with warm, fuzzy feelings? Or does he give them opportunities to love each other? Well, I gotta run. A lot of people to serve. Enjoy.
If we pray for life to go well, don't you think it would be opportunities to do the right thing when it doesn't? See, when did you see her eyes light up when he said, when you pray for family? At the very beginning of the movie, they prayed that they would be closer as a family. And so through all of it, ding, the light went on. Wow. But when those things happen in our lives, when our lives are put into a frenzy and an uproar, those are opportunities for us to do what is pleasing to God. C.S. Lewis put it this way in The Case for Christianity. He said, now is our chance to choose the right side. God is holding back to give us that chance, and it won't last forever. We must take it or leave it. This morning, as we have had opportunities to respond, we're going to give you one other opportunity. I'm going to ask that Jamie and Andrew come up this morning, and they're going to sing. And while we do that, I'm just going to ask that the elders would come forward, and we just want to give you an opportunity to respond, whether it's you need prayer or you need to talk with someone, or this may be for you. You may say, I've got it. I've recognized it even throughout this time of this series that I'm missing that peace in my life. And I realize that through the stuff that I've been through that God has got my attention. And I want to choose the right way. The words will be up on the screen if you care to sing along. But guys, if you would come, and we just want to give you this opportunity. And then when they're done, we'll continue with our time of worship. Let me pray. Father, God, sometimes that you can even confuse me by the things that happen in my life. But yet I know that your word says that you are not a God of confusion. But you are a God who loves, and you are a God who is there for me and for us. Father, sometimes when we do choose to serve other gods, well, and we do it well. But Lord, you love us enough that you put things into our lives that just get our attention. To say that I'm still here, and I'm still rooting for you. Lord, this morning, we just want to take this time, and it may be awkward for some of us, but Lord, I just pray we push all that aside. And if it's to pray, to talk, or just to say, you know what, today I do. I believe that God gave himself up, his most precious thing that he just loved the most. But because he loved the world, he gave up his son so that we may have life. Lord, again, this is your time. In Jesus' name.